Ephesians 5, 1 and 2.
It's college classes.
Not even close. I said Genesis. I didn't realize that.
Another mistake. New Testament. John. You're getting close to the Ephesians. End of the year here. Yeah.
Ephesians 1:99.
Lord, remember you guys.
In Deuteronomy.
No, Ephesians. That's a New Testament. Come on, you guys. Listen, that's embarrassing. After you're doing all this, you don't know the books of the Bible.
I will.
It shouldn't have to tell you the pages.
I do. Okay.
Now go ahead and read that, Elijah, if you would.
5:1
and 2.
5:1 and 2. Become ye therefore imitators of Yahweh as children beloved, and walk in love, even as the Christ also loved you, and delivered himself up in your behalf, an offering and sacrifice unto Elohim, for a fragrance of sweet smell.
So we're going to stop right there. So that's what should be our goal every day. And what we're going to be looking at, the word offering and sacrifice. Offering is korban, Q-O-R-B-A-N. And we're going to be looking at that because our what we're going to look at is, I think, more Christianity to a great extent is you are active on Sunday for a particular part of time and then that's it. That's your Christianity, your service. That's not an offering. And so we're going to look at going in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, to see what kind of lifestyle Yahweh actually is looking for. And we're seeing right here that Christ in our behalf died, and what did that accomplish? It was offering a sacrifice unto Yahweh, and that offering a sacrifice accomplished one thing, a fragrance of sweet smell. So fragrance of sweet smell and offering. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 1, page 125, and we're going to study the word korban with a Q. It sounds like a K, korban.
What chapter
is it? Chapter 1. What did I say? I gave you the page number, I think. 125. Now the verb, so korban is a noun, and the verb which comes from is karab, like K-A-W-R-A-B. It's spelled Q-A-R-A-B.
Okay, hold on. What did you say? Korban is the noun.
Is the noun. And that's for people who study it. Strong's number 07133. And the verb is karab, Q-O-R-A-B, and that's the verb. Strong's number 07126. And they're both used in this verse. And the problem with many times language, and what's so good about the Rotherham is there are certain words that are very hard to define into a language that we don't have an equivalent word for that. So korban is going to be called, he's going to say oblation, which is a holy offering, offering to a god, oblation. But really korban means to bring near. And karab means to bring near. And so you have to say, okay, that goes even a farther step. And so when you're bringing something to Yahweh at the temple, you are bringing something near, and that's called an offering. So let's look at Leviticus 1. That's Leviticus 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Then called he unto Moses, and Yahweh spake unto him out of the tent of meeting, saying, speak thou unto the sons of Israel, and thou shalt say unto them, when any man shall bring near, that's karab, bring near, from among you an oblation, which is korban, which is, here you have the noun and the verb together, unto Yahweh, from the beast, from the herd, or from the flock, shall you bring near, karab, the verb, your oblation, korban. So, who would like to be bring something near to the creator of the universe?
Yeah.
Not creator, this is the creator of everything. Yeah. And that's it. So think of the privilege and honor we have that actually I can bring a korban, an offering, or oblation to the Creator and bring near to Him, and He's going to recognize Elijah's or Isaiah's out of billions of people in the world. He's going to recognize Isaiah, Melania, Esther. Let's see here. The King James is going to say offering. And so obviously, does offering associate with bringing near?
No.
And really, oblation doesn't either. But oblation is an offering to a god. That's what oblation means. So they have difficult times understanding these things. So you've got an oblation, a korban, an offering. And now you're going to see what most of the offerings are, what they are called ascending sacrifice. The King James and other Bibles are going to call them burnt offerings, and which is wrong.
It doesn't smell like sweet anymore.
Well, burnt means that the whole thing is going to be consumed, and so this particular word for ascending is ola. Very simple, like hola, but ola, O-L-A.
Which word is it?
Ascending sacrifice. And the verb, that's a noun, the verb is ala, A-L-A, which means to climb, ascend, go up. So in this going, so Rotham translated it, this offering, something's going up from the burning. What's going to happen? What is that going up? Two things.
Smoke
and
a scent.
A smell. An odor. A scent. You know, think of that. And so you're looking at, here comes the animal sacrifice, it's going to go on the altar, and it's an ascending, it's going up, sacrifice. And let's look at that in first usage of Ola is Genesis 2:6. And this is all going to come together into a sacrifice to see that we can be Christ-like and every day do offerings that ascend to Yahweh that are also a fragrance of sweet smell. Now think of that. That we could actually do that every day to say, God, I can't wait for Aaron to get up. Yahweh.
Yeah.
Because He's going to give me an offering, a korban. 2:6. Does somebody want to read that?
But a vapor went up from the earth and watered all the face of the ground.
That's right. And it's the vapor is the word.
It's O-L-A?
Yeah, it's O-L-A. To ascend. Now we go to 8:20, Genesis. Chapter 8:20-21. So this is after the deluge, the flood. And Moses built an altar to Yahweh and took of all the clean beasts and of all the clean birds.
Noah
and
built an altar.
What?
Noah built
an altar. Oh, what did I say?
Moses.
Oh,
I was just laughing.
Oh, I'm just really interjecting all sorts of things. And Noah built an altar to Yahweh and took of the clean beasts and of the clean birds and caused ascending sacrifice, Ola, to go up, which is Allah. So here is the ascending sacrifice is a noun. To go up is the verb.
Ola Allah.
Ola Allah. To go up on the altar. And we're going to cover this later. And Yahweh, what happened? Smelled a satisfying odor. Wow. I mean, to please Yahweh should be our goal every day. To please Yahweh.
A smell of satisfaction, it says.
Now we go into ascending sacrifice. So what we're going to find out in Exodus 29, page 113. And most of us, I don't think of our life each day as presenting an offering, that it's going to be a sweet-smelling Savior or a fragrance of sweet smell to our Father, where we can get in that situation, and we're going to find out how to do that. But in chapter 29, 38, we're going to find out that this was required. You know, so we're thinking usually of Sunday as our service, or Wednesday and Sunday. Well, the altar sacrifice was 24/7. The animals for serving the city were burned in the day, the morning. That's called the evening ascending sacrifice, and the ascending sacrifice of the olah, it was completely consumed, the whole animals for Yahweh. They would skin it, but they would cut it up into portion size and then sacrifice that. So that smell is going all day. And the smoke is going all day. And then when the evening comes, they do it again. And so you've got 24 hours of a sweet-smelling fragrance going to Yahweh. 29, verse 38. 246. Let's see here, 38. This, moreover, is what thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of a year old, day by day, continually. And so think of our lives being a continual offering, which was Christ's life.
This when they were traveling?
Everywhere they went, this is every day. The altar, when they're on the altar, this is happening every day, continually. So guess what? The fire never went out. The fragrance never went out. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So the evening sacrifice burned all night, and then the morning sacrifice burned all day, and it just goes on and on and on.
They just carried it with them.
Yeah. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the second lamb shalt thou offer between the evenings. And a tenth part of fine meal, mingled with a fourth part of the hin of beaten oil, and as a drink offering, a fourth part of the hin of wine with the one lamb. And the second lamb shalt thou offer between the evenings, according to the meal offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof. Shalt thou offer with it for a satisfying odor, an altar flame to Yahweh, a continual ascending sacrifice to your generation at the opening of the tent of meeting before Yahweh, where I will meet with you to speak unto thee there. So will I meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be hallowed by my glory. Thus will I hallow the tent of meetings and the altar and Aharon and his sons will I hallow to minister as priests unto me. Thus will I make my habitation in the midst of the sons of Israel, and will be their Elohim, and they shall know that I, Yahweh, am their Elohim, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I might make my habitation in their midst, I, Yahweh, their Elohim. We can have that same situation. Now think of foreigners, nations, looking at these, what's going on in this desert. They're seeing smoke going up 24 hours a day. They're smelling the flesh 24 hours a day. This is Israel that never stops. That's who their God is, that they're sacrificing to. Now, you can see a little example of this with Abraham, Genesis 22.
They burned incense, too.
Yeah, there's incense in the altar that was burned. The lamps went on at night, and you had bread that went through the altar. So think of as not a Sunday or a Wednesday or a certain day, but if you should have a habit of every day of waking up saying, here's my offering for you, Yahweh, and really it comes down to is doing what he tells us to do, but counting on it as being an offering, then it's a fragrance of sweet smell. Genesis 22...
What?
Genesis 22? Yeah, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. This is Abraham. Let's see, 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Elohim did prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold me. And he said, take, I pray thee, thy son, thy only one, whom thou hast lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and cause him to ascend there. Isn't that correct? Mm-hmm. To ascend there, as in this, you know, that is to ascend there is Allah, to go up. That's the verb. There, as in ascending sacrifice, which is Olah, the noun, to ascend. on one of the mountains which I shall name unto thee. Now we go to verse, and obviously you know that wasn't required, verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, a ram behind caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and caused him to ascend, there is Allah, as an ascending sacrifice, Olah, instead of his son. We go to Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 3, page 353.
Got to be a lot of wood.
Yeah.
But you smelled any two of the showbread? You smelled fresh baked bread in
it? I think that was only done once a week.
Once a week?
If I'm not mistaken. But yeah, no, that's great, because it Yahweh is your life. It's your whole community's life. Yeah. It's not something you do for an hour and that's it. It's just always there. It's always going on. And you can imagine how devastating it is once those fires went out. There is no altar. Yeah. There is no burning. There is no lamp oil. There is no incense burning. No, so you have a putrid
stench.
Smell that's coming out of Israel. And it can be the same thing in our lives too, a putrid smell of coming out when we are in disobedience and not acknowledging Yahweh in one way or at all. Chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Let's see. You want to read 4 and 5, Wendy?
So then the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 ascending sacrifices did Solomon offer up on that altar. In Gibeon, Yahweh appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and Elohim said, ask what I shall give thee.
Now, isn't that cool? But what a heart. 1,000 ascending sacrifices is going up. So Yahweh gets to see Solomon's offering. And we go to, let's see here, verse 15.
And he was doing it in the high places too.
People were happy with him.
Yeah, of the same chapter. So he gets a dream. And Solomon awoke, and lo, it was a dream. So he entered into Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of Adonai, and caused to go up ascending sacrifices, and offered peace offerings, and made a banquet for all his servants. So sometimes we should specify there is different offerings. One is a sin offering, and we're not talking about sin offerings. Christ paid the price for us. There's something called peace offerings. And peace offerings is where you're just blessed and you're going to offer something and everybody gets to eat it. It's not the ascending sacrifice. And then there's the ascending sacrifice that was there every day for the people. Now we go to 1 Kings 8. See Solomon again. Chapter 8, verse 5 through 11. And King Solomon and all the assembly of Israel who assembled themselves unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen. This is when they're opening the temple, which could neither be recorded nor counted for multitude. So the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of Yahweh into its place, into the shrine of the house, into the holy of holies under the wings of the cherubim. And that is the Debar. For the cherubim were spreading forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim made a covering over the ark and over the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, and the head of the staves were seen from the holy place in front of the shrine, Debir, although they were not seen on the outside, and they have remained there until this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses deposited there in Horeb, tables of the covenant which Yahweh solemnized with the sons of Israel when they came forth out of Egypt. You see, now we go to when it came, and so it was when a priest came forth out of the holy place that a cloud filled the house of Yahweh, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of Yahweh filled the house of Yahweh.
Wow.
Now what a compliment is that, because that means the presence of Yahweh is pleased with what you've done. And then you go to 54 to 64, same chapter.
chapter 54?
No, same chapter, just verse 54. And you want to read, somebody want to read this?
I'll read it.
Okay, go ahead.
And it came to pass, when Solomon had made an end of praying unto Yahweh, all his prayer and supplication, that he arose from before the altar of Yahweh, from kneeling on his knees, and with his hands outspread to the heavens. You want me to keep reading?
Yeah, go to 64.
And stood and blessed all the convocation of Israel, with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be Yahweh, who hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of any of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Yahweh our Elohim, be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us. But we bow our heart unto himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his regulations, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before Yahweh, be near unto Yahweh our Elohim, day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as any need ariseth, to the end that all the peoples of the earth may know that Yahweh is Elohim, there is none else. So shall your heart be sound with Yahweh our Elohim, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. And the king and all Israel with him were offering sacrifices before Yahweh. So Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto Yahweh. Oxen, 22,000, and sheep, 120,000. Thus did the king and all the sons of Israel dedicate the house of Yahweh. On that day did the king hallow the middle of the court that was before the house of Yahweh, for he offered there the ascending sacrifice and the meal offering, and the fat portions on the peace offerings, because the altar of bronze that was before Yahweh was too small to receive the sinning sacrifice and the meal offering, and the fat portion of the peace offerings.
Isn't that great? I mean, what a tribute to Yahweh on opening the temple.
It's a lot of wood.
Yeah. And then we're going to look at sweet aroma. And aroma is Riah, which comes from the word Ruach. Ruach is an invisible force, but Riah is what we call aroma. And we already are at Romans 8:21. And so let's just go to Exodus 29:19. Back to Exodus 29:19, 112. But so you have the offerings, and now you have the aroma, the sweet aroma, which is the Riah, R-E-A-H. Ruach is R-U-A-H. So Exodus 29:18. And let's see. And I shall burn the whole ram as incense on the altar. An ascending sacrifice it is to Yahweh, a satisfying odor, an altar flame to Yahweh it is. And so our lives should always be going to be a satisfying fragrance or odor. Odor has a bad connotation right now, what we have, but a fragrance does not. And now we go to Leviticus 3:5, page 126, you know, Exodus Leviticus, page chapter 3, verse 5. And bring us all back to Christ's life. And he was the offering, and he was the ascending sacrifice, and he was the fragrance of sweet smell, because instead of doing it for himself, he did it for Melania, he did it for Esther, he did it for Elijah, he did it for your dad and me. So chapter 3, verse 5, then shall the sons of Aharon make thereof a perfume at the altar upon the ascending sacrifice which is on the wood, which is on the fire, an altar flame of a satisfying odor unto Yahweh. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, today's offering. So, page 234. Hebrews 13. This is great. Christ paid the price for us, and so we don't need a sin offering. He paid the price for our sin by offering himself. And we just need to confess our sins, and he's faithful and just forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. But the offering and the sweet-smelling fragrance, or the fragrance of sweet smell, is still very important on our actions and what we do. So 13, verse 12 through 16. Esther, you want to read that? Or Melania, go ahead, 12 through 16.
Therefore, Yahushua also... Wherefore Yahushua also, that he might hallow the people through means of his own blood, outside the gates suffered. Now therefore let us be going forth unto him outside the camp, his reproach bearing, for we have not here an abiding city, but unto that which is to be are we seeking our way. Through him let us be offering up a sacrifice of praise continually unto Yahweh.
That cool?
Yeah.
Through him, let us be offering up a sacrifice of praise continually unto Yahweh. This is a fruit of lips confessing unto his name. Doing good and of fellowship, be not forgetful, for with such sacrifices as these is Yahweh well pleased. And so, doing good and of fellowship. Think of the continual sacrifice that's going on. And now we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And 1 and 2. These are important things to memorize.
Romans chapter 1?
Yeah. Now, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Page 161. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through the compassions of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto Yahweh acceptable. The same situation, our body is the offering, and is our actions of what we end up doing. So our prayer, our supplicating each day, treating our wives, treating our husband, treating our children, treating our neighbors, of giving. And be not configuring yourself unto this age, but be ye transforming yourself. And so what's the opposite is giving your body, the opposite is configuring to the age. And that was back in Hebrews 2, that you're not part of this world. You're outside the camp. Like Yahushua was rejected from the camp, you're going to be rejected from the camp. We're all going to be rejected from the camp. That comes with the territory. This city is not our city. This home is not our home. So we have to expect that, because that's what the world's going to do. Yeah. If the world hates me, it's going to hate you. If the world doesn't hate you, then you're not showing Christianity. Very simply, you're not being faithful to him. But be transformed yourself by the renewing of your mind, to the end you may be proving what is that thing, willed by Yahweh, the good and acceptable and perfect. And we go back to Ephesians 5:1. We don't have to go there, but... Become ye imitators of Yahweh. And think of that. Wow. It talks about being a high bar.
Yeah.
The imitators
you think of Jesus.
Not of Paul, not of Peter, but I want to be imitators of Yahweh's children beloved and walk in love, even as the Christ also loved you. So here's our example. As loved you, an offering a sacrifice unto Yahweh. He delivered himself up in your behalf, an offering and sacrifice unto Yahweh for a fragrance of sweet smell. So our korban would be the labors of love, obedience, like speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And you guys did tonight. That is korban. That is an offering.
Yeah.
When you speak in tongues, because we know in 1 Corinthians 14, 2 and 17, it's speaking sacred secrets to Yahweh and it's giving thanks well. So obedience is, and the church has really dropped that, no offering in that many areas. And by doing that, that equals an ascending sacrifice, our actions, which equals a fragrance of sweet smell. And so when Izzy does something like that, it's like smelling Christ.
Yeah.
You know, could be filet mignon, which smells really good, or it could be, you know, the best perfume ever. You know, look at some of these Eastern lilies and things like that. They just blow up in the air on the smell, which is great. So that would be the end. So we'll go ahead and stop there.
So our lives are an offering. It should be a sacrifice.
Yeah, it's an offering. We offer our lives every day. And I'm planning on that one-on-one. And I'm going to present this to Yahweh. Good morning, Yahweh. Here's for you and to Christ. So here's some words of prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14 for anybody viewing in the future or listening. Father, we thank you for these words, dear Christ, our Lord. As you begin each day and as you contemplate in my sacred word, my word is sacred, so treat it sacredly. Go for the truth into it and not into errors and translating that are erroneous, but go in for the truth that's available in accurate translations in order that you, that I may be communicated to you in my fullest. So do not be discouraged about not being liked by other people, but be encouraged that I love you, that I gave my son for you, and as you live a life of obedience, that you will also be a fragrance of sweet smell, as my son was to me.